I asked the Lord this week, a lot of people, I'm looking around, missing somebody. A lot of people I talked to this week, and then people that my wife talked to, had testimonies of what God's doing in them. And I asked the Lord, because I can't wait. I got so much I want to share, you know. But what God wanted was testimonies today to give you an opportunity. What's God doing in you? What's God showing you? Maybe you don't know how to explain it clearly. Maybe you don't know how to, you don't understand it all. You don't have to. But what is God showing you? What is God doing in you? How is God working in you? What are you experiencing in God? Life, peace, freedom, joy. What is it? What's going on? Maybe you're having troubles. I don't know. A lot of people are having that because God's taking us through the fire. Thank you, Jesus, for being faithful. Who would like to give a testimony? Who would like to be the first one to give a testimony? I think we're going to have a lot of them today. Yes, sir. Please, would you? I just would like you to come up to give your testimony, okay?
I want to keep this kind of short, but just let you know what you need to know to understand. I've had problems with my mother for years, and she has emotionally abused me and other things, and cursed me, and basically disowned me, and she's the only one in the world left that's I'm tied to emotionally and that I love dearly, and she's been dragging me down for several years now. And I asked her just this past week for a couple of small favors, and she ended up cursing me and cussing me, and just this used to bring me into a depression. She's the only one that could do this to me so deep that I would be unable to function or think straight. I'd be so sad for a week or two. I couldn't leave my house. I couldn't eat. I couldn't. All I could do was sleep and be sad. Anyway, she did this the other day. I asked her for a couple of favors, and she cursed me and cussed me again. And this time, she said, "I wish you would have never been born." She said, "You're just so much trouble. I'm so disappointed in you." And basically, it kind of broke my heart, and I. As I explained, it used to bring me down so bad I couldn't function. And this time, I quoted her some Bible verses, and I remained calm, and I didn't let it get to me. I called on Jesus for strength and the perfect peace. As Isaiah 26:3 says, and after I got off the phone, I prayed that I read that verse over and over, and I didn't just recite it as a school textbook thing. It spoke to me that if I trust Him and I keep my mind on Him. And am faithful, He will keep me in perfect peace. And that has come about because I am in perfect peace. I'm in more perfect peace now than I've been, I think, ever in my life, ever. And I was also having a few financial problems, and through Jesus. I know it was through Jesus, but Pastor Harvey hired me to work on his lawn, and Sue's lawn, and blessed me with a little financial gain, and also made me feel like a man again to do a hard day's work. And it took me a few days' work, but I it made me feel good, and it made me feel like there was hope. And I went home every day and got on my knees and said, thank you. You're making me feel like a man again. But now I understand what you're wanting me to do. And I guess I don't know the words to explain all this that's happening to me, but I am in perfect peace, and I am really in a circle of communion with Jesus that, I mean, it's flowing round and round, and it's coming back to me this now. It's not just me praying and not hearing anything or feeling anything. It's I know He's in my life. I know I've always been with Him, but now I am with Him, and there's no way I can ever go back to anything resembling what I used to be, and that's just a blessing. So I guess I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
So, because you talked to me yesterday or the day before or every day or whatever, I don't even know. But, right. But just to help clarify this, you've been reading your Bible every day.
Yeah.
You've been praying every day.
Yeah.
You've been depending on God. You've been taking Him your needs, your burdens, your cares, your worries, your fears, and you find Him being faithful and taking these things and saying, I got it.
Yes.
And then the men in men's Bible study, as they prayed over you and God led them to tell you Isaiah 26:3, I think Tom or somebody. And you went home and you memorized that and you quoted that to me, but you didn't just memorize it, but you meditated on it, and it became real and living, like necessary food to you.
Absolutely.
And it's kept you in peace.
Yes.
Like you'd never experienced, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. I'm saying that for a reason. You, all you folks, you come and you give us testimonies, but then when you get up front, it's hard to say stuff. But we need to learn to get up front. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I think Jesus did it up front, right?
Yes.
So, it's for Jesus, right? I mean, we're not getting up here for any other reason. Okay, I understand. Who would like to be next? We've got a lot of testimonies today. Just go ahead and settle it. Who wants to be next? I didn't say, does somebody have one? So who's going to be next?
Oh,
by the way, when you get up to give testimony, you know, we need to pray over Dave. We talked with Dave, whatever day it was, and he told me about his conversation with his mom and stuff. Normally when we give testimony, what we want to do is be careful not to make other people look bad or something like that. You know what I mean? We just need to say it was somebody. In your situation, it was your mom. And it's really hard because that's like a very close relationship and it's very devastating. But what I'm saying is we need to pray for him. And Dave told me, you just nodded if this is true. You told me you came to the understanding that God helped you to understand that God wants to reach and love your mom through you. He wants to guide your mom through you. Right? And that's what he came to realize. And he said, you know, I realize I got to quit putting expectation on her. He said, and I need to put all my expectation in God. And I need to get from God what she needs instead of going to her, talking to her about my needs, because she's not able to handle her own needs. Right? Didn't we come to all that? I'm telling you. And when he left, Sue and I said to each other, I don't know who said what or whatever, but it was like we both could just see it. It was like, God's really alive in that guy. He's really changed. Something's happened in him. It must just be Jesus. Go ahead.
So we've been talking about, or Harvey's been talking about relationship or something or other like that for, well, since I've been coming here a couple months now. And I thought I knew what that was, you know. I mean, I heard it enough. I was like, yeah, I can, I get this. Yes, I understand, I think, now, Harvey. But thank you. But it wasn't until this week that I had the revelation of it. There's a difference between human understanding and revelation from God. So it was weird. I was just reading through Romans when it's talking about the circumcision and uncircumcision. And for some reason, God put this vision in my head of me preaching to myself about embracing God, what it meant to go to His embrace. And so I'm going to God, and I'm in His embrace, and the vision takes a turn for the worse, and His eyes turn to fire, and He pushes me back. And, whew, I was a little scared, and I was like, okay, I'm not right with God right now. Something's whack right now. So, I just start asking God to show me, reveal to me my sin so I can accept it and be like, this is me, this is, I have done this, let's kill it now, let's kill off the old man. And so I just started repenting of all these things that came to mind, and then going back to the circumcision and uncircumcision, just reading that right after I was done repenting and praying to God. And God kind of just revealed to me through revelation of, like, relationship, what it means. And there's these four things. It's called salvation, reconciliation, redemption, and justification. Yeah, and I always thought these were kind of, like, the similar, they were all, like, the same thing. And God was like, no, these are different. These are very important things that you need to know are completely different from each other. And so God just kind of revealed to me that without all four of these things being in relationship in my life, without all four of these things, nothing matters. Like, without the other three, salvation is like, what? Okay, I have salvation, but I have no relationship with God, you know? And just when God revealed that to me, it was like, ding, light bulb. Oh, that's what Harvey was talking about, relationship. Oh, okay. And so, I guess I got, like, through that, I hadn't spoken in tongues in a while, and through that, God just, like, urged me to do it, and it just piled on more and more, and it kind of regenerated me like a battery, I guess. So I just had revelation of relationship this week, and it was really cool. I enjoyed it. The embrace? Oh, yeah, after that, like, it was like God, like, had me, like, I was in His bosom, as it were, you know, and it was, whew. I just don't know how to describe it. It's just, the love of God went to the next level for me, I guess. Like, I had this greater passion for Him. I had a want to go and do more and more and more. And so, from then on, just my job was easier. I watch a bunch of kids. They're a bunch of brats, but I love them to death. But it got easier, and it turned out to be an awesome week. So, yeah, it's cool.
It's real nice when you're able to give a testimony where everything is just good and you come out the victor. It takes maturity and true honesty to be able to give a testimony when you're in the midst of trials, when you're in the midst of the fire, when you're going through it, and maybe you're going to stand up here and cry trying to talk. But if God's telling you to give a testimony, if God's moving on you, if you know it, if you're having this stirring inside, then, as He said, you want to go to the next level, or you want to bless the devil and just sit in your blessed assurance. Okay.
One of my favorite sayings is, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans, because that's what I keep trying to do. I tell Him, oh no, I need this. No, wait, God, I need this. And He's like, yeah, okay. And So when I, but when I sit down and I get thankful and I think about all that I have, like a really awesome church that is always here whenever I come back, really awesome friends who still return my phone calls and emails, and really beautiful children who are very resilient and that will remind me that I'm forgetting God and will ask me when we're going back to church and when they forgive me for yelling at them and they don't yell back. That's when you know God is really working. And so I'm trying to get this new philosophy or way of living that if I can just continue to be thankful and list the things I'm thankful for instead of what I think I need, that I'm really blessed. And that I really have everything I need. I may not have everything I want, but really, as long as I have God, it's okay. And I always have God. Eric's doing really good right now. Finally, again. He's just making wonderful leaps and bounds. And this week we have a counseling appointment every Thursday, and something negative had happened that day that really wasn't a big deal, but instead of me focusing on the good, I came into that counseling appointment. I'm like, nah, 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 nah. And he sat there and he took it, and then I realized I heard him, and the counselor kind of saw it, and the counselor wasn't judging me. But he helped me to list all the things that I'm thankful for with Eric. And it was like you could totally tell, like, how Eric's demeanor and his attitude just got lifted up like 10 feet when I started listing everything that he's doing right instead of everything that he's doing wrong. And cuddled with me after that. And so I think it's just really important for all of us to remember that, you know, that we have to be thankful and that we have to remember everything that we have. And that our kids really, they need to hear what they need to improve on, but it needs to be in a loving and caring way. And if we do it from a judging standpoint, or we do it because we're angry, that it's just going to fall straight to the ground. It's not going to sink in. It's not going to do any good. And I'm just so thankful that God is still molding me as a mother, that I'm still learning every day how to be a mom, and that that I still have the ability to learn how to do this stuff, and that I still have influence on my children, that my children are not so far gone that they're out in the street smoking cigarettes, doing drugs, having sex, whatever. That they still crave my attention, and they still learn from me. And even when I mess up and have to apologize to them and say, you know, mommy was in a really bad spirit, and they say, oh, it's okay, mom. You know, they still have the ability to forgive. I mean, we can learn so much from our kids. And I'm just so thankful that God has given me two wonderful children to learn from and grow from. And even though sometimes I wonder if I'm not doing things right, if they're not going to end up in the right place, I just know that if I keep trusting God, that it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It will.
Yeah. Joy, there's a principle that may help you, okay? God blesses thankfulness. The way my dad used to say it was, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. But none of those are a virtue, okay? God blesses thankfulness. and we just start thinking, it's like he just starts blessing. One day I was asking him to bless. Have you ever gone to God with a list? You know, this like want list, like a Christmas list or something. I want, do this, do that, whatever. And I did this 2 days in a row one time, and he gave me two different answers. Just hear it. I like this story. It's my story. I like it. Okay, it worked for me. Okay? The first day, he said, Harvey, do you really want me to bless you? And I said, yeah. And he said, why don't you give me your list and find out what I'm doing, forget what you're wanting to do, because my way's already blessed, and if you get in on it, you're going to get blessed. And then the next day, when I was praying, he said, you really want to get blessed? And I said, yes. He said, leave people in such a way that they bless you in their hearts, and it will release me, God said, to bless you. Because if you leave them in such a way where they're mad, angry, offended, now you owe a sin debt to them, and it stops God blessing, because he can't bless when we've hurt other people, because God's real simple. It's all about loving God and then loving others with the same love he loved us with. See what I'm saying? So God blesses thankfulness. That's really cool. Glad you're... That's cool. Who's next?
So I shared last week about like how God is after anger. That's the thing he's after in me right now. And that the reason that we showed up 2 weeks ago is because of Tempe having a meltdown and God telling me it was basically stemming from my anger. And like one of the things I told God that day when I was like hiding under the blood in the other room, because I'm like, I can't see people. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm like this horrible mom. And the devil was really after me. But as I was looking up verses on anger, and it was like, anger, it just can't be an option anymore. Like, I just can't scream at my kids. I can't let anger, like, just attack them, especially towards Tempe. Like, she's the one who pushes my buttons, you know, and I haven't really understood that before God revealed some stuff. But, like, I told God, I'm like, I don't care. I would rather cry and look like an idiot all the time and just cry because they disobey me or someone's mad at me or whatever than to let anger be my defender anymore. And so I thought I cried a lot before and that I was like a real crybaby. But I cry all the time. Like, maybe not every time my kids disobey. Like, anger is not completely gone. But so I cry a lot. So I probably won't get through very much of this without, like, crying, but try to understand the words through the sobbing. I felt like God wanted me to share, like, more in-depth kind of the backstory on stuff with Tempe, because things were different when she came along. Like, she was different than my other two kids. Before her, she was colicky, and she would cry, and not just cry, but scream, like, all the time, day and night. She screamed. She didn't eat well. She didn't sleep well. I mean, you'd barely get her to sleep, and she'd wake up and just blood curdling, like pierce your ears, screaming all the time. And I was so frustrated with that, and I just didn't know what to do. And like, the devil gets in there, and you're sleepless, and your hormones are out of whack from having a baby, and you know, you expect to take home this baby and them just like snuggle into you and love you, and maybe nobody else in the world can soothe them, but you can, because you're mom, you know. And I couldn't. It was like she didn't receive that somehow, and I would just get frustrated with her and angry with her, even as a newborn, like, because I took it like this personal rejection, like she didn't love me, she didn't want me, and so therefore it was like inside, without even realizing it, I just was like, fine, then I don't want you either. Like, if you don't want me, I don't want you. So there you go. And Dudley's mom came down a lot, and she would stay up all night with Tempe and hold her. And then, you know, when I would say, I just can't get her to stop screaming, she would say stuff like, well, she's Granny's girl, so she'll stop for me. Oh, she just wants me to hold her, things like that. And it was like the devil just really dug that in, like, she doesn't even want you. She only wants, you know, Dudley's mom. So you might as well just, like, keep her at an arm's distance and, just give her, that's fine, fine. She's granny's girl, and I've got the other kids, you know? And so then when his mom would come to visit, and, you know, she would just hold on to her and hug her and love her, and then I would try and hold her, and she would still cry, and she would just, like, resist, you know, didn't want me to hug her. And that went on until, like, 7 or 8 months ago, actually, because I didn't even understand it. I just kept saying, like, I don't understand. Like, I just don't have this bond with her like I do with the other ones, and I almost don't even want to be around her, you know? Like, I love her, but I just, there's this thing between us, and I didn't understand it. But, and God kind of showed me, like, all this that I had taken as rejection, and then I had rejected her and put this, and so he started working in me to, like, break agreement with that and to, you know, just repent about having done that and start speaking love into her and acceptance. And our relationship has changed over the last 7 months or so, in that, you know, we have more bond, but there's still this anger that is there. And just like, as God's been, like, really working on anger, and I mean, I've asked him, because I didn't know that I had that kind of anger, I don't think, before, probably before she was born, that I had that much, like, inside of me anger. But I, like, I've asked him for years, you know, to, like, take the anger out of me and, like, choose to forgive everybody I can forgive. But it was like, I just felt hopeless, like it was never going to change, you know? And I would feel so guilty to be that angry with my own kid, especially since she's barely, I mean, she's 3 and a half now. So it's not like she was a 16-year-old being in full rebellion. She was a baby, you know? And so I'd feel so guilty about that. But, like, as God has been, like, working on the anger, and, like, I feel really hopeful that there's, like, going to be, like, victory over it. For the first time that I can ever remember to feel that there won't always be this anger inside of me. But, like, I'm seeing the changes in her, and, like, I'm not perfect with it. I'm still, like, falling, and I still get angry, and, like, in the moment, you know. But, like, I'm seeing that change in her, and, like, she's becoming kind of a mama's girl, which is awesome. And she'll, like, want me when she's upset, and, like, I guess I just really see God changing her. One of the verses on anger that I don't really remember reading before, but it was in Ecclesiastes, and it says, like, be slow to wrath, for anger rests in the heart of fools. And that, like, really got a hold of me. Like, anger, it, like, just sleeps there. It stays there all the time in the heart of a fool. And to be a fool is to be someone who doesn't have God's wisdom. You know, so in James it says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. And so if I don't ask God for wisdom, then anger is going to be what comes up, because I'm going to be foolish. And, like, that verse has just been, like, in my face, you know. And so when I feel that start to rise up, to defend me or to attack them, to try and control and force them to obey, you know, the kids, it's like, don't be foolish, get wisdom on this, you know, and step back. And like, I'm really seeing that work with God. And then yesterday, I normally, we have a hard time getting Tempe to even pray with us to get rid of her own attitudes, and yesterday she came upstairs from playing and said, Hara has a bad attitude and she needs to pray. And we said, well, why don't you pray with her then and help her get rid of it? So she went back down and came up, her and Sahara both crying. And she's like, she won't pray with me, you know. And Sahara's like, but I want her to pray with me. She won't pray with me. She just told me to pray. And they just hugged right there in the living room. And they prayed together, like Tempe helping Sahara get free from an attitude. It was awesome. Because normally she wouldn't even pray for her own, let alone somebody else's, you know. And it was just like, seeing this major life-changing thing in our home of Tempe, you know, just that one thing changing, affecting everybody, you know, in the house. And then I wanted to share another thing, different subject, but last week when Dad was walking through, like, he and Cecil were kind of replaying through, not playing, but you know what I mean, rewalking through the steps of everything. And at one point when it got to a part about, like, having, like, a full and total repentance, really deep, and you made a statement about not, like, when you think back about your things, your past or things you've done, like, a lot of times, you know, like, you share stories from your past, even though they're not good. It's like, oh, well, we did this, you know, like it triggers a memory, and you're like, yeah, that wasn't good. But then you talk about it, and you laugh. Like, ha, 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 that was a funny story. But it was not good. You know, but it's like not getting it, that even laughing when you're telling that story, or even like sharing that story maybe with the wrong people, you know, how that's not a good thing. And you made the statement about, like, being able to see that very thing that we might look back and laugh about is, like, to get a deeper repentance on that, to say, like, it wasn't funny. It's not funny that happened. It wasn't, you know, something, like, worth reliving or saying the good old days, you know, back when I was in sin, you know. But ha, ha, ha. It was, like, seeing it as, like, that very thing, like, caused Jesus to have a lash, you know, and caused him to bleed and shoved the thorns in his flesh. And it was like he was bringing things up to me this week, even the anger with Tempe, like in a moment of like losing my temper and being like getting harsh and watching her face like crumple. And it was like I could just like see it like Jesus getting a whipping right there, like the lash, you know, right in that moment. Like, it's not something to be light. And, you know, just like, yes, I'm sorry for that, but it's my past and everyone has one. But it's like, right now, in the moment, like, those things that I'm doing, it's like it caused that beating that he had. In the moment, that's what caused the nail to be driven into his flesh, you know? And it was like just getting like a deeper grip on that, to be really careful about how I would share or how I'm responding to things, because even though it's already done and he's risen and he's not in pain now, but every time that there's a song about like when I sin, it's like it crucifies him again kind of a thing. And I think it like reopens a wound in him, like an ache, remembering that pain, you know, because it's so serious to him. And that's just like that deeper repentance, that more full, thorough, you know, and that was, so that really stood out to me.
Really good.
I just want to share something as an encouragement, because you brought up the crucifixion and it had already been on my mind. So I was reading through an old journal, and I don't know if you've seen the picture Forgiven, you know, but anyway, I was looking at the scars in Jesus' hands in that picture one day, and he took me in a vision back to the cross. And you know, God is eternal. He's a time traveler. So you might say it's not as though he's still suffering, but it's like his suffering is eternal and his joy is eternal. He just travels through time, and yesterday and today are all the same. But he took me back in time to the cross, and it was focused at the wounds in his hands while he was suffering. And I wanted to minister to him. I wanted to love him. I wanted to kiss his hands and just bring some love and comfort to him while he was on the cross. And I looked up in his eyes and he said, "I've received your love, because when I was on the cross, I looked forward in time and I saw this moment when you would come here to me." And it was our love, that he foresaw our love, that kept him on that cross to endure his suffering. And the encouragement is that it is his love that holds us to our suffering today. The things we're going through that are so hard, for his love. He is the reward. And we look forward to when we'll be in the embrace again and we endure what we're going through today for his love. But he saw you and your love, and you held him to the cross.
Who's next? Who's next?
This on?
Yes, thank you.
need this because I'm not real good at just words like Shania. So, but Dave, your testimony, I just wanted to say that I've gone through the same thing with my mom. And I realized that reading over these 19 steps is what I had to do to be able to get past the hurt that she caused me. First, I had to be willing to see what the sin was in me, because I took what she said and I lived it, you know, what she said to me. And God had to reveal that to me before I could even go anywhere with that, you know. And then I had to admit to myself that because I took on what she said to me, it was my fault too. I blamed her, and I should have been blaming myself too. And I did partner with the wrong spirits. I partnered with the ones that said, you know, she don't love you. She didn't want you in the beginning, and she still don't want you. She don't treat you like a daughter. And I was hurt by all that, and I lived it that way for 50 years. And I guess what I wanted to say to you is that you can get past it, but God has to be the one to do it. And it looks like you're on the right road to that. So, but I had to break agreement with the spirits that were telling me, you know, well, you're no good. She didn't want you, and she threw you away like a piece of trash. And I couldn't get free until I realized that's what had happened. And, of course, you know, Pastor Sue told me that I needed to, the same thing they told you, was that I needed to not put expectations on her. And that's what I was doing for a lot of years. I'm like, she's my mom, and she better treat me like her daughter, you know. And she couldn't do that. She didn't know how. And so then with Jesus' help only, that was where I could come to a peace and be able to live with that. And then I had to ask Jesus to forgive me for believing the lies. And I had to depend on Him only to take away all that hurt. And it had been there a lot of years. And it wasn't until probably, I would say maybe 10 months ago, when I finally got past it. It took a while, but, you know, God's timing. And I had to realize all this first. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that to you. And to anyone else that might have that same situation. And then I wanted to just take you to another situation in my life last week that I wanted to share. And I had to write all this down, so forgive me if I'm... and I didn't rewrite it. So anyway, I wrote it as God was giving it to me. And so here we go. A few weeks back, Pastor Sue said something about who will appoint him the time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't do that enough. I need to appoint him more time. And I should have been doing this all along. But, you know, sometimes you keep hearing things, but it doesn't click until, for some reason, you know, God wanted you to finally get it. And I was relying on myself all the time to do stuff. And probably within the last 6 months, I've started relying on God to, I mean, first thing in the morning, I wake up and I want to just be in His presence and read His word. And it's more and more just getting to be real in me. And it's just exciting. So anyway, the other day, and I wouldn't normally share this kind of thing, but this is what was really happening. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I started writing it down. And then the Lord said I needed to share it. So anyway, and it is all about appointing Him the time. So first of all, I had this fear. And then I read 2 Timothy 1:7. He does not give us the spirit of fear. And if you're afraid to face the truth, you need to read that. 2 Timothy 1:9 says He has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So I had to rest in Him, and that was the first thing I had to do. I was about to put some color on my hair. I ruined it about 2 weeks ago. And then and Glenn, he's laughing because he knows I go through this frustration quite often. So anyway, I did it, and it turned out too dark, and I was like, oh, I can't live with this. I can't look at myself. So as I seeked His face, He told me to rest first before doing anything. I have this jacket that I put on when I do my hair, and I had it over my arm. And so I sat down, and I just rested in Him. And the jacket over my arm, ready to go for it. But I realized that time didn't matter in God's eyes. And it was one morning, as simple as dyeing my hair. And I've messed it up so many times on my own. It hasn't been all that simple. It was time to give it to Him. What shall I do, Lord? And I heard this small voice, appoint me the time. And my thought was, I need to get her done. But that hadn't worked so well in the past for me. So it was time to appoint Him the time. You're loving this, aren't you? So I asked Him to take all my thoughts into captivity, to clear my mind of all the junk and rest just in Him. And then I heard a small voice say, lay at my feet with the box of hair color. So the burden of having to do it, and the burden of it not turning out right, and the fear that it brought, I knew it was time to lay at His feet. Glenn told me to just go get it done, but I couldn't justify that in my mind. So I sat waiting on the Lord. I laid it at His feet. I laid it at His feet, all right, me and the box of hair color. He blessed me for realizing it was time to give it to Him. And as He touched the box, I knew He blessed it as well. But did that mean, okay, go ahead and wait for a different answer? I'm really dumb like that, you know? I'm like, was that God or was that me just thinking that? Well, I realized those were the thoughts and pictures that He'd given me. It wasn't me. I would not have thought in that way. My idea of it would have been carnally minded, like get her done. Before I got started, there was complete thankfulness that he blessed me and he answered my prayer, and that he showed me exactly what step was first. Seeking him and appointing him the time was number one. And the second was to remember to trust what he does. And what he does is for me. I personally thank him every day for my blessings. And I know he loves to be thanked because he's blessed me so many times. And I just wanted to say the outline that Harvey has given us, those 19 steps, they're awesome. I've gone over them this past week and I just started searching out some of the verses that he gave us, and the verses all speak to us. And it's the beginning of a new life in Christ when we get these 19 steps. You'll know joy and happiness and freedom. And you can't read these scriptures and not be changed in some way. God will begin to work in you and through you. Just ask him. And then I just want to share a prayer that came to me, and I quickly wrote it down as it was coming to me about reading his word. And it goes like this. Lord, I want to learn to love your word more and more. Teach me and help me to hide it in my heart so that I can live it, be encouraged by it, and help others to know it too. Amen.
That was so awesome. A guy who lived in the cemetery. Let me say that again. A guy that lived in the cemetery came in contact with Jesus, and his life was so radically changed that now he wore clothes. He was in his right mind, and all he wanted to do was Jesus. And Jesus, after doing what the Father wanted him to do, said, okay, we got to go on with his crew of 12 and say, okay, everybody get in the boat. And the guy that was living in the cemetery, had been living in the cemetery for a long time, said, can I go with you? Please let me go with you. He was in a very desperate place and nobody could help him. People had tried to do everything they knew to do. But he had to live with the demons in the cemetery as they tormented him. So he met Jesus, who just delivered him, who just gave him the keys, set him free. And he said, can I go with you? And Jesus said, no. I want you to go back into the town right there next to the cemetery. And I want you to tell them what good things God has done for you. And that's what a testimony is. And so I'm hearing about hair color. And I'm hearing about little children, 3.5 years old. And I'm hearing about living a daily life of our work with little, dear little brats. And how we need Jesus. and how we experience Jesus, and having very real testimonies of, here's the pain I'm going through. And before, for example, Dave Kinnamore, from the time I knew him up until now, you ask Glenn, Roxanne, myself, maybe others, but at least the three of us know, when he would go through anything where he got hurt, he got so devastated, he couldn't function for a week. He wouldn't come out of his room. He just went into depression. He couldn't handle it. We tried to get him to Jesus, but he wasn't ready. He was still trying to figure it all out instead of taking his hands off the steering wheel and saying, God, I can't do it. I'm going to say this again. Colossians 2:6, the same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. You see yourself deserving to go to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. I deserve to go to hell. What can I do? Can I join a glee club called a church? Can I pray a little prayer? Can I do some more good works? What can I do? There's nothing I can do. That's when Jesus becomes my life. That's when I become born again. How do you live? I'll do it. I used to tell God all the time, God, I got this. I don't need you. There's all these other people in the church and they're weak. They need you. I can handle this. I know you're busy. I'm just telling you. You know, I'm talking about the epitome of pride. Dude, I hope you don't ever get one of those old dictionary of the word pride. It says, see Harvey, good definition. You know, good example here. Clear example. I used to tell God that all the time. I don't need you. I know you're busy. And I want you to help them because they're all weak. So then God had to weaken me. I was already weak. I just didn't know it. I was strong in the flesh, which is against God. And I didn't even know it. What's neat is hearing God in your everyday lives. What's neat is hearing your testimonies. I am loving just hearing God in you. It is so awesome. Who's next?
Well, I guess I'm kind of in the middle of what God's showing me and the place where I'm at is where He hasn't, you know, brought deliverance or victory yet, or at least a complete victory. You know, there's just so many little battles until the war of this, you know, particular whatever sin or struggle is done with. But last Sunday, Wayne and I had a fight or a conflict or whatever you want to call it, you know. We didn't end up coming to church. I came to church to tell on him. Then I left because I knew I had to go home. But I knew I needed some prayer and some perspective, and so I got it. And he was definitely guilty in my book. You know, they always are. But I don't mean husbands, I just mean, you know, the other person is always the one at fault, aren't they, you know? So, but because I needed to be, if I was going to see the conflict resolved, I needed to be the one to humble myself, you know, and to go and say, well, put aside my hurt and come and humble myself and say what I saw. Hurt him and what I did, and apologize for that and ask forgiveness, and then ask what else he saw So, just out of obedience, I just went to him and did that. Went through the motions of all that. And I took my notebook and I said, okay, so what do you see? And he started telling me, and I wrote it down. And, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, oh, I really want to tell you what I see. I'm telling you because I see a lot. But I will not do that. So I wrote down what he said. And there were probably six or seven things that he saw that I was guilty of, supposedly. Which all of you, I'm sure, see that I don't see. But anyway, but there was one thing that he said that I thought was really at the root of all of the garbage. And that was where this stuff had come from, this attitude that was going on inside of me. And it was, it rang true. And it was having to do with something that God had told me a few weeks ago that he wanted to heal. He'd come to us, and he'd come to us in his father heart. He'd come to us with the mother heart of God and healed wounds from our mother. You know, as a movement, not that he doesn't have any of that to still do in any of us, and all of us, you know, I'm sure to some extent here and there, but, you know, I've heard of these movements of the father heart of God and, you know, the mother heart of God, and he told me, I want to come and I want to heal the wounds, and I want to show you my brother heart of God. And he showed me that a few weeks ago, and that blew me away. You know, I thought, oh, that's not my idea. And he told me that. So when Wayne brought up these things to me, this one particular thing, he said, well, you've taken on this spirit of bullying because that's what was done to you by your sister. And I have a lot of wounds from my sister. And she, you know, she had a lot of pain. She's passed away now. But I just, you know, she would have to be in charge of me and babysitting me and how she treated me during that time. And then I don't think it was anything, you know, unusual. I mean, she never, like, beat me up or she never... I mean, some people have been sexually abused by their siblings. That never happened. She didn't do anything unusual, I don't think, that maybe... You know, most people who have older siblings haven't also experienced. So, but when he said that, that rang true, that bullying. And so when I have fear, then I'm going to bully or control, you know, that will come out. Because, you know, I was looking at that to protect me, and you said that, Janiyah. And so God's showing me just how I do that. And it's not pretty. Not pretty at all. So, but it's a mercy. It's a mercy that he shows me. It's a mercy that he shows me what he wants to heal me from. Because I don't want to stay there. It's very ugly. Disgusting. And so he loves me anyway. So, there you go. Thank
you. Who else? You need to stand. Then you can hold your Bible if you want, whichever.
I think all of us are really being tested and tried over a very long time. God's really trying to work his heart in all of us. And he's really been working hard on me over these last few months, since last year, really. He's been allowing things to happen in my life where my heart has been ripped out of my body, practically, in very, very close relationships to me. And my MO for that is usually to withdraw from people and cut people off and not be in relationship because it's just too painful. He's not letting me do that anymore. I used to get really hard and angry and there's people here who will testify to that, I would not cry. I didn't let my emotions, it would be covered with anger and hate. But God isn't letting me do that anymore. All I can do is seem to weep lately. But what He has showed me, I need to have in my life, life preservers, which are verses. One day, Carson and I were doing... Thank you. I did need to stand after all. I guess I should listen to Pastor Harvey. I know. One day, in the last couple of weeks or so, I was doing devotions with Carson. And his devotional that day, the verse was Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And then that is so true. When we are hurt, we need to pant after God. We need to go to His spring of living water. But the next verse, which was not in Carson's devotional, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" And so for me, that was God's life preserver, because He's saying that in my hurt and in my weeping, there is sustenance. There is strength. Because the spirits are going to come to me and tell me, they don't care about you. They just want to hurt you. They don't love you. You just need to close off. You don't need to be in relationship. They're just going to keep hurting you. And that's what they've been doing my entire life. Then last Sunday, about a couple weeks ago, God also gives us kind of like anchors. Pastor says that they're His little slogans. But some of them can be anchors for us. And something that Pastor Harvey said to me about a couple of weeks ago, he said, you have got to have, a standard, or where things are not an option. And he said, no matter what, it is not an option that you miss church. Because what's my first mode of, what do I do when I'm hurt? I do not come to church. I do not want to be around people because I'm not in a good spirit and I will not be very nice to people. And you would know it. You would know that you'd think I hated you. There's a lot of people who thought, huh, Dudley, that I actually hated them. Dudley didn't want to be my friend because he thought I hated him when I didn't, really. I didn't know him. But I was just so closed off. So, for me, that is my option now, that there is no option. I will be at church unless I'm dead or really, really sick, or my child's really, really sick. But that's an anchor. That's something that I need to anchor me down to what God wants to do. Last Sunday night when they were praying, Pastor gave me... He is so wise, you know, and I used to not like him very much. Huh, Pastor? But when he opens his mouth now, I listen, because he has got a heart truly, truly for all of us. And when I hear people make fun or, oh gosh, here we go again, it really grieves my heart, because what he has to say is so vital. And what Pastor Sue said is we have to be willing to hear from Harvey, even if we've heard it before, because just like with God's Word, there's something new. We're all at different places. So it's going to be what we need. The other thing God showed me over this last few months is that I went to Psalm 23, where He says He prepares a table before us, before our enemies. Each one of us, our table is different, because He knows exactly what we need at that moment. And right now what's on my table is weeping and tenderness, because God wants to be tender with me so He can develop tenderness in me. Gentleness, because He needs to develop that in me. And how else is He going to do it to a hard heart who wants to withdraw, but to make me weepy all the time and to let people hurt me? And I'm not saying it's not even stuff that is bad. One of the things is, you know, my daughter got married, and for me, my three children who I had when I married Tom, that role is over for me. I'm no longer responsible for those three kids. And my mother's heart just really, that's a hard transition for me. And I have to just, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's a good transition. It's a good transition, a natural transition of life. But it's still something that grieves my heart, and it's something God is going to use to develop His heart in me. The other thing Pastor gave me last week when he was praying for me, he said Hebrews 6:10. So, something about the work. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that He has ministered to the saints and do minister." And even though I didn't quite get what He was meaning for me for that verse, God took me to 6. Where is it here? Seven and eight. "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." So in this time of weeping for me, this what I call a suffering, it is for me to learn obedience. That's basically what I have.
Has anybody met with God through testimonies today? Has God touched anybody through testimonies today? Did you experience Jesus? So who else has a testimony? See, I can't call you. I know, but I can't call you. No, go ahead.
Listening to Harvey, yes. It's one of the best things, or listening to what God tells him is one of the best things ever. I guess just listening to all the testimonies today, I've realized that throughout this week I've had my own testimony and a few different things. Reading my Bible every day, because we come to church on Sundays and some people are like, "Oh, I don't have to read my Bible, I go to church, I'm reading the Bible there." Well, it's like, well, if God wants this one-on-one relationship with you, why wouldn't He still want it with you and Him on Sunday before you go to church? Because that's going to get you ready to go. So you have Jesus when you get to church, which it's made this whole day better because I started it off with Him and in prayer with Him in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, you know? And it's been such a great week so far, and I call Harvey on Thursday. Actually, he called me just to see if I was doing okay because I didn't call him on Wednesday. Because I went one day without Jesus this week, Wednesday. I'm pretty sure I was willingly doing it. And I told Harvey, I was like, I went to one day without Jesus and it sucked. I was like, that day was just terrible. Because I've been reading every day for at least almost for 2 weeks now, except for Wednesday. So, 13 days of 14. And I realized how much of a difference it's actually been making completely, and like how it's changing and how I've changed since I've been doing that. I haven't gotten as angry as I used. I won't snap at something that normally annoys me. Or I won't, and I can handle certain situations with certain friends that usually get under my skin, and I can just let them go and say, "Well, God, You take it, not me. I don't want it, because I want to live positive for Jesus and stop dwelling on the things that I've done that are wrong." And another way that this week is He started through me being part of His Word, a part of His will every day, and in His Word, He's starting to use me at my work, and I'm starting to see it because of this verse that I read. One of the kids that I work with came to me, and he's like, "Yeah, I have a relationship with everything with Jesus, I just haven't really came out and told anybody." And it just so happens that that day I read Luke chapter 12, verse 8. It says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, so shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God." And then verse 9 says, "Whosoever denies me before man, so shall the Son of Man deny before the angels of God." And I was like, "Oh, cool, I want to show him that." Then all of a sudden I stopped. And it hit me, and God's like, No, I want you to know that first." And I was like, "Okay." And from that, like that, and that stuck in my spirit, in my belly, like Harvey always said, you know. And it stuck, and I read that, and I was like, "Yeah, he really wanted me to get that." And since that day, which was Tuesday, I went the one day, but I went back to it Thursday and read it again. Like, the whole atmosphere where I was at in work changed. I was able to openly, I've been able to openly talk to people about Jesus at work every day that I'm there. And, like, they're willing to receive it, too, which is an awesome thing, you know, and they're interested. And I was like, "I'm just glad he's doing the change in me first." And like, the last part of this week, it just finished off last night with another thing that he got, that he put in my spirit, was the fear of God. Like, some people always say it's the respect and the awe, but I was like, what if it really is a fear? An actual fear, you know? Because I just finished Luke from reading every day, and I started in Acts, and I read today about, it kind of hit me this morning, I read today about when they were all bringing, like, I think the church was starting, and they were all bringing their tithes. They had sold all their land and everything, and they were bringing it in, and this one couple, yep, only brought in half. And it grieved the Holy Spirit so much that they fell dead in the very presence of it, and it was because they hadn't given it all. And I was like, there's a fear there. I was like, if there's not supposed to be a fear of God there, it hit me, and I was like, yeah, I fear him. And it also was like, I gotta make sure I give him everything too, because it's not mine. My life is not my own. It's his first and foremost, you know. And another thing with that verse in Luke is like, whose opinion matters more, God's or mine? Or God's or man's, you know? And then starting to take things up with him has really just opened my eyes in a lot of things. Because before coming here, before actually making myself make time for God, because you never have time, you gotta make it. And I would just, some people say I'm like a sponge. I like to absorb knowledge. And I gotta be careful when I do that now, because I just realized this, because I can absorb knowledge, but am I absorbing the God in the knowledge? I don't want to be a walking Christian encyclopedia, you know, and just quote things back to you. I want to be able to quote, show you the scripture, and be able to tell you the meaning that God wants you to have in it. But yeah, that's been my week. So.
Does anybody know that he has a call in his life? Can you hear that? You know what's neat? These four musketeers from Ionia area call me almost every day to report in that they've read. And they all have their notebooks. And I ask them, "So what'd God show you?" And every day they're telling me.
I'm just... Did you... I'm just saying. Did you pray and ask God, does he want you to disciple somebody? Who else? Somebody. Okay, Sharon.
I think the enemy wants me to be quiet and not say anything. But God has placed the call of my life to proclaim his word. And in order to do that, I have to be brave enough to stand up here and speak. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations and it seems like there's nothing we can do about it. We get stuck in the muck and mire of life. But God has a way. He has a way to bring us out. So you may be finding yourself stuck in a bad situation. But remember that he has made us more than conquerors. That's what he says. So do not lose hope. Whatever the situation is, do not lose hope.
Amen. The way I like to say that is, he got it from the dead. What couldn't he do? It's too big for us, but it's not too big for him. And when we turn it over to him, serious, when we bring it to God, and we get to a place where we really understand, I can't do this, then just look at the empty grave. You can't keep a good man down. And Jesus got up. He got up. He got up. So like, what couldn't he do? I know it looks impossible for you. Many things look impossible to us. So we try to avoid them. But there's some things you can't avoid. But God's way always works. It's not a suggestion. It's the Ten Commandments. Not the Ten Suggestions. You don't try Jesus, like some bumper stickers say. Try Jesus. You don't need to try Jesus. He's already been tried. You either trust Jesus or you don't. It's not trying Jesus. Jesus isn't someone you have to fight. Well, he worked this time, but he didn't work that time. If he didn't work, it's because we did something wrong. We had wrong expectation. Or we did our version of what he said. If we ever find ourselves blaming God, who do you think is the instigator of that? Satan. In Revelation, he's called the accuser of the brethren. Have you ever noticed, any time there's accusation, it's always the devil at the root of it. If he is accusing someone else to you, if he's accusing you to someone else, if he's accusing God to you, if he's accusing you to God, that's the devil. God's never into accusation. Even when we're wrong, he's always kind about it. He may be very clear about it, but he's always kind about it. testimonies. Who else? Yes, you can.
I know.
I come in doses.
Yeah. When I was growing up, you know, I was 21 or so, just before I turned 21, when I got in church after I got saved. Nuts don't fall too far from the tree. And they used to, the preacher would say, okay, Hart, you know, they'd have testimony time. And I'd always stand up 3 or 4 or 5 times. And he'd always say, one time, Harv, and keep it short. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, and it's like, because whatever you say primes my pump. I want to say more, you know.
Well, I talk a lot, so it's hard to say it all at one time. Well, first of all, I did the homework of reading Romans 6:16 this week. Like, I was reading it a lot, and we were supposed to read it until, like, we really got it or whatever. And it says, know you not that to whom you yield or present yourself servants to obey, his servants or slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And I looked at, or I have the definition of the obedience right here, and it says, to hear as a subordinate, listen attentively, obey as a subject, answer and respond, and submit without reservation. To hear as a subordinate, listen attentively, obey as a subject, answer and respond, and submit without reservation. And it was like, I mean, I read it a few times. I can't say I read it every single day, but I read it a few times some of the days, and it just, like, I kept thinking on it about that, submitting without reservation, because God's been, like, really talking about submitting to authority and how God works through authority. And, you know, one of the things being for us to come here instead of being in our separate house churches right now. And, like, it's hard for me to come and a lot of the time listen to Dad talk because, you know, I've lived with him most of my life and I've heard a lot of his stories or whatever. And so when he says stuff, you know, like people you're close to or you're around a lot, you get really immune to the things they say, or it's like, it's not funny, I've heard it, you know, like, it was funny maybe when I was 5, but it's not funny now, you know? And so, like, it's really hard to, like, come and go, yeah, I'm going to sit and hear you for 2 hours, and I've been listening to you since I was, you know, born, and I don't want to hear it. I'd rather hear something different, somebody who presents it in a way that I receive better, you know? We are similar, and I don't receive as well, usually. And Mom had sent out an email a few weeks ago to some of us talking about how we need to be making this determination to receive whoever's bringing the message, whether you receive from them or you don't receive from them normally, in just a general, like, I receive from Mom because we're opposites, you know? So when she presents, it comes in a way that I naturally just get it. And not so much from Dad, usually, because he brings it in a more aggressive manner, and so then I'm like, wah, you know, stay away from me, don't talk to me, you're attacking me, and so I just shut down. But it was like, I usually will shut down. The minute he gets up, everything inside of me goes, I don't want to hear this, and I shut down, and then I'm like, golly, church is never going to end. But, and it's not him, I'm saying, like, it's not him, it's me, because when she, like, sent out that email, I mean, my initial thing was like, all right, here we go again. Like, basically, you're just going to sit and listen to Dad preach. And I don't really want to do that, but I will submit and say, okay, I'll choose to receive. And then it was, I think it was right, I don't know if that was the week or if it was right after that, that we came here, you know, because of the meltdown and just everything was kind of falling apart. And then last week, on my way to church, I was like, you know, I choose to just, like, whatever gets said, just to receive. And if there's something I don't like, I'll just, like, say, I just choose to forgive, and it doesn't matter, and I'll just receive. And, like, it was so, I went home, and I was telling Dudley, because he was home with the baby, you know, who was sick, that, like, it was just really good, and I was just like, blah, 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 about this whole service and how awesome it was, and, like, these 19 steps are, like, what Burning Bush needs, and we have to have this for, like, victory in our church, because we can't go back to house churches until, like, we get this, you know. And so we've been on point one for, you know, ever. And then I mean, that's what it feels like. I'm like, okay, so he just says the same first few points every week, you know? But it's because, like, who's getting it? Who's getting point one, right? So then God says to me last Sunday night, I want you to begin to incorporate the 19 steps into your devotions with the kids. I'm like, okay, but I forgot my notebook here with the paper in it. So on Monday morning, I get up and I'm ready to do devotions with the kids, and I went, I don't remember what step one is. I'm like, you've been talking about it for weeks, and I couldn't even tell you what step one says at all. Like, I don't have a clue what any of the steps were. And I just sat there, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was determined to listen yesterday, and I got a lot out of it, and I could not tell you what step one was. But then I just, like, prayed, and I'm like, I felt like God wanted me to have the kids, like, talk about asking God to show us the attitudes that we live in, you know, and that we live in a lot, that we find ourselves doing the same things, you know, like being whiny or arguing or whatever. And all of them, Jackson, Hara, Tempe, all three of them closed their eyes, and all three of them came out saying God told them that they get angry, and, like, with their siblings, you know. And so we, like, walked through praying and asking God to help us not be angry. And it was really awesome, you know. But the submission to authority thing. So as I read that through the week. And it was like to submit without reservation. And it was just like, it doesn't matter, you know, if you repeat. It doesn't matter if you come across abrasive or if you got into the flesh for a minute or rabbit trailed. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Because if God is bringing a message, and we need to, and that's what our authority, you know, like the apostle is saying, this is what God has for this body, so we all have to come together. It really doesn't matter who's bringing the message. Because I think if my mom were to get up and start bringing the 19 steps, everybody would suddenly be offended and not want to hear her. You know, because the devil doesn't want that message to be heard. So it's really a matter of just the determination to hear what God wants us to hear and to respond to that. The hearing and responding, I think that's like really awesome, because that goes right with James 1:22, another part of homework. You know, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because we can sit and say, I've heard it. I've heard you say this. For months, for years, for whatever. You know, you say it every day. I hear the same thing. You get on the phone, I can predict what you're going to say next. You know? Because I hear the same thing. But I can hear it. But am I responding and actually moving in that thing that God is saying? And it's, God is, the situations in my life, there's situations that have changed recently. And all of a sudden, it's like things that, you know, I would just go, not my problem. God's saying, you need to be preaching this authority thing. And to preach it, you got to really own it. You know, that God works through authority. And you've got to, it's not just saying, fine, I'll do this. But it's the spirit, the attitude of, without reservation. You said it, and you're my authority. So I'm going to do it with an attitude of, I will receive. You know, we've got to be willing to receive. And, like, I was thinking, if I can be open to receive from Dad, then anybody can, because I think, like, we've had the hardest, because I'm his daughter, and we're similar, I think that we've had the hardest relationship. So if I can be open and say, like, you know, I'm willing to receive, and God is really moving and working, and I'm seeing, like, major life changes that I never thought, you know, were possible, then I think anybody can receive, you know, from him. And it's me, it's not him, it's just saying, like, I thought that it was him for so long, that he was impossible to receive from because of how he presents things or because of whatever. And it really wasn't. It's not him. It's really the receiving end of what's our attitude, you know? I mean, Balaam received from a donkey. So it's not really in the message. It's not in the messenger. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who the messenger is, because I really, you know, I really believe that it's the message God's wanting us to receive, and we need to just be open and say, I don't care if it comes through a donkey. I don't care if it comes through my three-year-old. You know, I don't care if it comes through anything. Whatever it comes through, whoever it comes through, like, to just have that determined, I'm going to receive whatever God has, and I don't care the form it comes in. If I have to forgive somebody 50 times through church to receive, then I'm going to forgive them 50 times through church. Because I'm going to receive what God has for me, because it's so important for me. Like, I want God more than anything. Like, that's what I want. I want what God has for me. I want what God has for my family. And it's dependent upon me giving God everything and receiving for my kids to become who they're supposed to be. And if I won't do it, they'll never be who they're supposed to be. Because we don't have time for them to grow up and go back and get it. They have to get it now. And they're not going to get it if I don't get it. So as long as I say I'm only receiving a certain way and a certain length of time and from certain people and what I want to hear. You know, I'm only going to receive certain messages. Like, my kids are messed up. I don't know. Sorry. They're screwed. But that's just what it is. Like, their future is just, like, dark because they don't have a chance. Because it's dependent on me. And that's, like, major heavy responsibility. And, like, I feel that responsibility on me. And it's for them, but at the same time for me, because God has things for me. And if I, like, play around and just choose what I'm going to receive, I'm going to all of a sudden be at the end of everything saying I didn't do what I was created to do. And a big part of that for me is my kids. But, you know, there are things God wants and things God has planned for us. And if we don't just say, I don't care the method, whatever it takes, I choose to receive it and submit. Because if we don't submit, you know, we're never going to get there, because God works through authority. And I don't care how old we are or, you know, whatever. Even good things, like my husband and I don't always agree on worship and everything. I'm like, you know, I could spend all day here on Sundays and just worship all day because I'm a worship person. And, you know, he's like, I need my downtime. Let's go home. And, you know, so we're different in that. And I have to submit to his authority as my husband and say, can I go early for this? Can I need to be there. If I'm going to be part of this group, I need to go early. And if he were to tell me I couldn't go, like, God would not bless me being on the worship team. You know, and like, even, and that's the thing God wants for me, but I have to still submit to the authority God's put so that I can do the things God wants me to do. So it's not like only because I'm going to make wrong choices I have to submit, but that's just how God works. So anyways, hear and respond, submit without reservation. I thought it was really cool. I like that verse.
Do you know how cool it is for God to see God and to hear God working in somebody that has struggled in this area for such a long time, like Patty, for example? You know, when she was up giving her testimony, and she said when she was mad or whatever, she was like going to become Miss Cold Heart and Miss Stare You Down with Hate. And on the one hand, God put her in my spirit and said she's supposed to be here. On the other hand, when we were in the building, during the week I would pray and say, God, I know she's supposed to be here, but could you like put something over her face or something? Because when she comes in, it's like, it's really hard to be in the room when she's looking at me like that. It's just really hard. It's hard to preach. You look around for a friendly, smiling face. That's what you do. I'm just giving you a hint. When you're up front, you find people you like, you know, or that like you, like what you're saying. You find, right, receptive people. You find smiling. You don't find, you know, and you don't find, you know. And yet God tells me to look at them, you know. And it's like, why do I got to look at them, you know. And it's like, you know, you ought to be, you want to be thankful for something, Joy? Be thankful that you were not made me. Because God has told me, Harvey, I put you in this world to irritate other people. I put you in this world. I gave you a big nose so you'd stick it in other people's business. I made you an irritating personality because you won't leave them where they are. You're going to, and he said, and I made you so that you will be pushy. and not just be socially polite and acceptable and all that stuff. Now, answer this question, just to help you with authority for a second, okay? Just to help you with me, because I'm telling you, that's how I am. And I've asked God, God, why? I don't want to be like that. And He said, Harvey, you can't be anything but. He said, I made you this way on purpose. And He said, it's because I love people that I made you this way. Would you rather me tell you what you want to hear and leave you in your sin and your bondage and let you go to hell and your kids? But there's many that will, because they care more about what you think than what He thinks. And do you understand? And okay. So ask yourself this question, okay? Can we improve on what God says? Honestly, can we improve on what God says? Okay. Did God put you here? I can't hear you. Then guess who He gave you as a leader? On purpose. On purpose. There's a reason. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, so that he lay down his life for his friend. I, as best I know how, lay my life down for you. And as best I know how, I'm willing to die for every one of you. And I carry every one of you in here. And I pray for you and I love you with all my heart. And I'm sorry for this flesh that I live in and all that stuff. Okay? But it must be what you need. So, thank God. And then guess what? Maybe when we have this attitude like Janiyah is talking about, these decisions, maybe God's going to say, hey, now that you got it, I want to do something in Harvey. And now that you have the right attitude, would you begin to pray for him? Would you begin to pray for your leader? And maybe God's going to change me and deliver me some. I think He's changed me a lot. But I'm still what you're stuck with. But I'm going to love you no matter what. Anybody else have a testimony? Yes, sir. Did you get victory?
Of course. When you submit to God, you get victory every time. I have to say something about Brother Harvey. You remember that I've said many times that I didn't want to come back to Burning Bush, because the first time I met him, he really offended me with his know-it-all attitude and just arrogance. I mean, I said, I don't want that to be around that man. And then 7 years later, through Wayne Patrick, God tricked me and brought me back to Burning Bush. Well, anyway, Brother Harvey, for some odd reason, I don't know why he did this, but he started inviting me over to his house to like almost every night to watch movies with him. And I have this very irritating habit where I like to ask questions about things. So while I'm watching these movies, I want to ask questions. Well, as we're watching these movies, I begin to ask questions, and all of a sudden, he gives me this really dirty look. Nobody talks while I'm watching my movie. And I just told him recently, I said, you know what? I've seen God work in your life. He said, how do you mean? I'm actually interrupting you during the movie to ask questions, and you're not giving me a dirty look, and you're not yelling at me, and you're not, you know, you're acting kind, and you're actually asking my questions. And he probably doesn't understand this, but God put me in his life as an irritant. But you know how he has said, God has told him that he can't go any further without taking us with him. He's got to stay with us. Well, if you look back in the book of Exodus, when the 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan, 10 came back with a bad report. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can do it. Let's go in. And the people all voted not to go in. And so God said, okay, for every day that the spies were in the land, you're going to have to walk in the wilderness a year. So 40 years, they traipsed through the wilderness. But guess what? Joshua, Caleb, and Moses had to walk with them 40 years. And I think that's essentially what God was saying to you. Guess what? You know, we're kind of in a wilderness in a sense. Not like they were. But he told you, you can't go any further without taking us with you. So in a sense, he's like Moses, because he doesn't really deserve to be where we are, right? He should be further along with God. But God says, no, you're not going to get any further until you bring them with you. So may I recommend that each one of us come before God and say, where am I holding up the troop here? You know what I'm saying? Where am I holding up the troop? Have I heard a bad report? Have I believed it? Like Isaiah said, who has believed our report? You know, I was believing the report of cynicism, pessimism, negativism. I was bringing that into the camp, folks. You understand? I think it's possible that there are other things being brought into the camp that God is not pleased with. And if we come before God, like you said with Psalm 139, like you always say, and genuinely want to hear him tell us what's holding back the camp, I think he's going to tell us. He told me very clearly. You know, he's been catching me lately with this duh attitude. You ever go through that? Somebody does something and you go, duh? I mean, you couldn't figure that one out? He's caught me at that several times. He says, repent of that. Because if I had not given you the clarity to see that, you'd be the same way, wouldn't you? A man can receive nothing except that it's given to him from heaven. The understanding we have is from our Father. It's not from us. It's not that we're so intelligent and bright. Where did we get it from? From our Heavenly Father. He deserves all the credit, not us. That's why we can't be arrogant. You see, arrogance is such a heinous crime to him. It's taking his place. It's Antichrist. Negativism is the same thing. God is always positive. I mean, do you realize it says in 2 Corinthians, he causes us to triumph always in Christ? Always. How do you get around that word? Right? Always. Listen to King James. Right, right, that's true, yeah. So, may I encourage everyone to come before God and ask him, you know, am I allowing something in my spiritual life to cause us to not be moving forward? Brother Harvey wants to get going. And I think all of us do too. I mean, aren't we reaching that point where we're saying, wow, I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to be the way I am. Let's move forward. Let's come before the Holy Spirit and just drop before him on our knees and say, man, whatever it takes, you know, if you have to take everything, take it. If you want to give me everything, give it. One thing that he has shown me is that a lot of times it's not what he gives us that blesses us, it's what he withholds from us. You remember Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And there are a lot of things I think he wants to say to us, but we simply can't bear it because of where we are, because of the choices we've made. And there's some choices we need to repent of and move on. So Brother Harvey can get going and we can go with him, you know. We can get going with him. And frankly, I know you said that this is a ministry training center, and I thought to myself, that's interesting. Because Jesus trained 12 men. One of them betrayed him, but was replaced. And those 12 men, the scripture says, turned the world upside down. So I look at every one of us here today and I'm thinking, you know, God wants to turn the world upside down through us. Isn't that cool? I know how he's chosen to do it through me, but do you know how he's chosen to do it through you? I encourage you. I encourage you, man. Seek after him with all your heart. You know, let him have that time, that appointed time. He wants that so much, more than we do. So much more than we do. And he's just waiting on us. He's waiting on us. You know, like you say, your heart goes out because you know where perhaps we ought to be by now. And we're not there yet. It's like we're here and God says you should be up here. And all it takes is choice. And it's not so hard when you say yes. Isn't that right, Janiah? And you say yes. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's how positive he is. We can mimic that, can't we? just come to God and say, yes, yes. I always told my kids as they were growing up, I said, you know, I love to say yes. If you come to me and say, Papa, can I clean my room? I'll say, yes. Can I take out the garbage? Yes. Can I go cut the lawn? Yes. I'd love to say yes. God is the same way. He loves to say yes when we come to Him with His plans and not ours, right?
Wow.
Yes.
I want to give you one verse. Romans 7:21. This is homework. If you have homework, you can come up to me afterwards and share homework with me. And I still got stars. Okay? And if I owe you a star, there was somebody that told me I owed him a star. Somebody that said they did something, and I said, I need to give you a star. And I don't know if they said, oh, I don't need it, or you don't have to do that, or whatever. But if you did something that I said I was going to give you a star, I want you to come up because I want to give you a star. Okay, afterwards. But I want you to look at Romans 7:21, and we're going to look at 10 words in there. We're going to look at the whole verse. We're going to read the whole verse, and then I want you to write down these 10 words, okay? It says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I want you to get 10 words. Are you ready? When I would do good, evil is present with me. You ready? When I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do God, devil is present with me. When I would do God, devil is present with me. Do you understand that the devil, when you are saved, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you? Before that, the devil can live inside of you. But what happens with saved people, a devil cannot live inside of you if God lives inside of you. You can't have fresh and salt water come out of the same fountain. Do you understand? You can't have sweet and sour unless you're Chinese. Okay? Do you understand? Okay, watch what I'm saying. Before you're saved, the devil can indwell you because of your choices. When you're saved, the devil can influence you because you choose to buy into his lies. But he can't live in you. He can't control you. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin, the devil, cannot have control over you. But I want you to realize something according to Romans 7:21. It will help you a lot in your life to give you victory. You did want victory? When you make a choice that you want, when you have a desire to do good or to do God's way, realize that the devil, not picking on him just as an example, the devil immediately comes right there because he doesn't want you to do God. He doesn't want you to honor God. He is the enemy of God. He wants to stop God's influence. So when you would or want to do good, the devil is present with you. He's right there trying to give you a different thought. I love the cartoons from the 50s and the 60s. They used to have a cartoon character. They would have a little demon on his shoulder. Remember that? A little pitchfork, little tail. Of course, he was cute, and they aren't cute. I've seen them. Demons are not cute. But I still like those cartoons. And the little demon, the person came to a decision, like a fork in their life. And the little demon said, go this way.
and gave them all the reasons. And they were always self, about self, what you want, what you feel, what you think, the way others think of you, or pleasure. That's always what the devil's about. And then the little angel, boop, he like would appear, poof. Remember? Anybody remember those good. And they would go, poof, and a little angel would appear. And he would go, you know that's going to break your mother's heart. And he would start talking. The little angel would start talking and tell him the reasons why he should do good. I want you to get this, because if this ever gets real inside of you, you will get so much victory, you'll wonder why you lived the way you lived up until this. This is so simple. God's way is always simple. It's only hard on our flesh. But we don't want to live in the flesh. If you're born again, you don't want to live in the flesh. You have a desire to live in the Spirit. You have a desire to please God. If you don't have a desire to please God, you're probably not born again. But if you're trying to do right, you're just trying to do right because you know it's right or been taught it's right. But you don't have any power to do it. You have no victory because God's not in you. But if God's in you, you have the power. It's available. It's so simple. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. You've probably never read James 4, 7, and 8. I've probably never talked about it before. But let me just share it with you because it's a really neat verse, little passage. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Remember, little demon? Boop. Go this way, away from God. And the little angel? Boop. Go this way. Follow God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I only want God. Resist the devil. And he will. Not he could. Not maybe he will. Not if he feels like it. Not if you say all the right words and quote enough verses to him. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Now, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Just get close to Him. That's what many of you have been giving a testimony about. Getting close to Him, appointing Him the time. Choosing truth instead of lies. Choosing truth instead of feelings. Well, I don't feel like it. And what does that have to do with anything? None of us feel like it. Okay, we got that settled? Fine, let's quit talking about it. Nobody wants to. Who cares? I don't feel like it. I don't care. Real simple. When I would do good, the devil is present, trying to keep me away from God. All you have to do is tell him. It's real simple. The verse didn't say resist the devil and he'll flee from you and then submit to God. It said first, submit to God. Submit to God. Look up that. Without hesitation, it said as subject, obedient as subjects. And that means as somebody who's under a ruler. It didn't mean subject as in a subject, you know, a seven subject, huh? As a servant. It was most, say that again.
Like most frequently used that word in the scripture or in that time for servants who would attentively like listen to their masters, what they wanted, and then do that.
In other words, seek to do what they knew their master wanted in their heart. Not just do the outward service. Okay, I'm doing my duty. What can you say? I did my duty. It's an attitude. It's like Sue used to cook me food. I cooked your food. I'm sorry, I don't like a burnt offering. You know, I know you cooked it. Nobody could deny this thing was cooked. Okay? But if you call this love, you need to look up that definition. I don't love charcoal. I just don't. I don't love it when it has to be scraped off the pan. I don't love that taste. Now, she cooks for me and I feel loved by the way she cooks. She still serves me burnt offerings sometimes. Just
yesterday or whatever. Okay? But I feel the love in it. It's different. It was not as charcoal-y. You know, it was just well done. Done well. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. I know that one was my fault, the spaghetti thing. If you keep talking, Harvey, the dinner's going to burn. Sue, I feel like God wants me to say this. I got to say it. I said it, and she goes, okay, now you get the burnt offering. You know, why are those spaghetti noodles, when you turn it upside down, sticking to the pan? Harvey, you did not quit talking, you know. Okay, I'll eat it. I want you to get those 10 words, please. When I would do good. This week. And here's, hey, look, can I give you a hint on how to fulfill what Janiah was talking about? When you hear a truth, are you listening? When you hear a truth, immediately make a decision. God, I want to own that. God, make that alive in me. God, remove the deceptions, the walls, the mindsets, the former teachings, the stinking thinking that's in me that blocks that. As several of you said, you heard it. You could even repeat it. You got it up here, but it's not living in here. When it gets living in here, it changes everything. This week, dear Holy Spirit, when I would do good. That's my keys. Who had my keys? That little guy stole my keys? That little booger. Okay. I was wondering where my keys were. I asked somebody, my wife this morning, where are my keys? And that little booger had them. Oh, you left them. It's not your fault, Remy. It's your mom's again. Okay. Thank you, babe. I know. Thank you. Okay, serious. Dear Holy Spirit, this week, every single time, you see, you don't have to do this. You ask God to do this. He is the holy reminderer. John 14:26. He will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, let's make it easy. The Christian life is so simple. Are you ready? Dear Holy Spirit, this week, every single time that I have a desire to do good, I have a desire to live God's way, make me aware of the enemy, that evil is present with me, that the devil is present with me. Try, and all he can do, the only power he has is a suggestion. Hey, about like the little cartoon. Hey, you ought to do this. Listen to me. This will make you feel good. This will make them like you. This will... All the stupid stuff he says. Sorry. Dumb stuff. Didn't mean to cuss. Okay. Are you ready? When I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do good, the devil, a whole separate entity, a living person, is present with me. What's the answer? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to do it. And it's immediate obedience. Well, I don't feel like doing it. I know I have to do it. I'll do it later. No, hey, do it now. You don't like peas? When you're eating, eat your peas first. Don't sit there and eat everything else on the plate and your mom makes you sit there. I'm sorry, I'm just going to pretend y'all are kids. And your mom makes you sit there until because you can't get up until you eat your peas. What you don't like, eat it first. When God tells you something, do it immediately. Immediate obedience, doing what you're told, when you're told, right attitude. Are we good? When I would do good, a whole separate entity called the devil is present with me. I'm just telling you, when you get this, you're going to be like, I didn't know it could be so easy. I'm just telling you. It is so easy. Jesus did all the hard work. And when it's too hard for us, He says, "You're right. I didn't mean for you to carry this. I meant for you to be carried. Would you give me the problem and then let me carry you? Let me take care of it for you." Jesus, I am blessed that you have given me the most awesome people in the world. And I got all these people that are just walking with you, hearing from you. And it's like DBJ said, "Lord, I believe you've already told me that this crew, you want to turn the world upside down with this crew. They don't even believe it. They don't even have a clue. But I already know it because you told me that." And to hear the stuff that I heard out of all their mouths, and then to hear what I heard DBJ saying, it's like you told me, "Harv, I got stuff I want to do with you, but would you be willing to give it all up? Everything, all the plans I have for your life, would you be willing to give it up just to train these 12? And I know there's more than 12, but it was like you were saying the same concept. You as God, spent your whole life just focused on 12. Just spent all your time. You didn't go and fill out stadiums and go on TV and do all that stuff and travel all over the world. You stayed within 60 miles of the spot you were born. And you just spent your whole life just on those 12. Your whole ministry was just on developing those 12. And you ask me that. And I know you want to turn the world upside down with these 12. And Lord, I see it and I know it. They may not know it, but open their eyes that they could see it. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Amen.